We have a lot to be thankful for. There we go. Yeah, come on. Let's just give the worship guys and the kids a big hand. What a great video. Hunter and Shailene, thank you so much for putting that together. And wow, my heart is filled with thankfulness today. And if you're with us today and you're new with us today, you've come on a wonderful day. Because we are all invited to a Thanksgiving church brunch right after service. So I'm going to have a shortened message so we can move into fellowship today. Yeah, someone said amen. I hear that. I understand. We've gone through a lot over the past 12 weeks or so. And we're going to wrap up our study today in Daniel. I promise to keep it short. And but, you know, I'm thankful for you for you just being here. And I really am thankful for this church, for all of you, that we can be a family, the body of Christ, helping one another, coming here together to serve and worship the Lord. All right, so let's wrap up our study in Daniel, okay? It's been an incredible book, but a large part of our focus over these last 12 weeks or so has been to see the spirit within Daniel. What kind of man this guy was. And we began this whole journey with our key verse. I want to say it again today. It's from Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Let's read it real quick. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and the satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. You know, everyone in Daniel's life kept saying this about him. What made this man so extraordinary? Well, the short answer is that Daniel was able to serve God faithfully in the midst of the pagan culture that was all around him. Right? No matter what was going on around him, he was able to serve God and not let that pressure take his faith. And here are the things we've said over the last few months. So if you haven't been here, we'll get a big recap right now, okay, over what we've gone through. Let's just talk real quick about who Daniel was. One, Daniel had a hope for the future. He looked future forward. He looked at the things God was going to do. He believed in God's plan for his life, despite the extreme circumstances that he was in the middle of for his entire life. He had a hope for the future. Daniel also knew his true identity. He knew who he was. Even though they tried to strip him of his identity, remember, they changed his name when he was taken into captivity. They re-educated him. But Daniel always held on to his God-given identity, to his faith. And the next thing, Daniel had a deep reverence for God his entire life. He was resolved in who he was. He was determined, if you remember, even as a teenager, that he was not going to defile himself before God. And yet, through that, he was able to respect all of the authority that was placed over him. But where he drew the line in the sand was that he always feared God first. He respected authority, but he feared God first in all things. And so Daniel stood up for what was right when it was right to stand up. Because of his fear of the Lord, he sometimes had to stand up for what he believed in such a way that he put his life at risk. It's the kind of faith he had. He lived his whole life with excellence. Okay, not only on the outside, with his high ethical standards and the things he did in his daily life, but also on the inside with his devotion to God. And that was oftentimes displayed through his prayer life. And we saw all these things. What a great example. And because of those things, he was thought of as a trustworthy worthy person by many people. And at the same time, Daniel was absolutely hated by others, right? They tried to throw him into the lion's den. In fact, they did. For what? Just for being an extraordinary person who loved God first. We also find that Daniel turned to God's word. He didn't understand something, he turned to God's word. And he prayed and he tried to understand. I'll sum it up like this. Daniel's life was about giving all glory and all honor and all praise to the all-powerful God. For all of his life. And that right there is really the pinnacle of an extraordinary spirit, that we would give all glory and all praise and all honor to an all-powerful God for all of our life. That's what we're striving to do. We certainly have not gone through as much as Daniel has, but we can most certainly share in what Daniel had, the attributes of an extraordinary spirit, right? We can hold on to hope. In spite of what you're going through right now, you can hold on to hope. We can have an uncompromising faith that we will trust God above everything else. We can live with more excellence in all the areas of our lives, just striving for more excellence to please and honor God. We can do that. And we can fear God first and actually let that influence our decision-making in everything we do, at home and at work. Our identity is found in him. Our dependence is completely upon him. The pressure from the world will always be there to try to drag us away from God's holiness. That's ultimately what happened to Israel. They were dragged away in captivity by Babylon. That's what the enemy wants to do. Drag you away from the presence of God. To drag you away from his word and from prayer. That's how it constantly was for Daniel. That was the battle he fought. But we must be resolved in our hearts and in our minds to serve God in all circumstances, even in crisis, when it comes along. Now, for all that Daniel was, that doesn't mean he always understood everything that God was doing. He didn't always understand. And that brings me to our last chapter, when Daniel describes an extraordinary prophecy about the days ahead. And we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but we're just going to shorten it up here. Daniel, he overhears angels in conversation. And the angels are talking to one another about when all prophecy will finally be fulfilled. So here's what Daniel has to say in chapter 12, verse 8. He says, "I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? And he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless, or refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand." And that brings me to my last point of this series. An extraordinary spirit knows that God knows the outcome. God knows the outcome. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us this: faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the outcome that lies ahead. God knows the outcome. And Daniel, in this chapter, where do we leave him? He is left perplexed after all is said and done. He's left perplexed. He doesn't fully understand the things that are ahead. In fact, we may understand more of Daniel's prophecies than Daniel understood when he gave the prophecies, because we've seen so much fulfilled. But I love the question that we are left with in chapter 12. Daniel leaves us with this great question. What is the outcome? What is the bottom line? Right? Not when will this end, not when will this be fulfilled, but how? How will this be fulfilled? And here is all we really get. Is any kind of answer to that question? It's just this: many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will go on being wicked. And that still carries on today. Many people are being purified, being made spotless, and are being refined, but the wicked are still being wicked. And that's what we're left with. And the question we need to answer in all of our lives today is this: what will the outcome be for me? Ask yourself that question today. What will the outcome be for me, for my life? You know, Jesus ultimately came to this earth and he died for you and me for one reason: to secure the outcome. That's why he came. He wanted to secure the outcome. Therefore, we know exactly why he hasn't returned yet. We know why he hasn't returned. It's because he's still offering us all a chance to turn from our wickedness and to be made pure and spotless and refined. And notice that we don't start perfect. Nobody's perfect, but we are made perfect. How is this possible? It was possible because Jesus paid for all that wickedness by his death on the cross. He fulfilled the prophecy in Daniel. He is the anointed one, and he was put to death. He took the punishment for all the wickedness in the world upon himself, and he gave us a new chance at a new outcome. Amen. A new outcome for your life, one that will last eternally. It won't crumble like all the kingdoms we've seen all throughout history and all throughout the book of Daniel. They rose up and they fell. It won't crumble like all of the kingdoms that will arise in the future. They will also crumble. It will last. His is a kingdom that will last. That is the grace we live in today. Amen? That door is still open to receive his grace and to come into his kingdom and to devote ourselves, start following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, to start turning back to the Bible and seeing the examples of those that have gone before us, like Daniel. It was all laid out for you and me to see how we should live and how we can honor God even in the midst of crisis. Amen? Amen. Now we're going to just move in to a time of communion. Just to finish the service today, we've wrapped up Daniel. It's been an incredible journey through that book. But just to give you all heads up, if you haven't been here before, we're going to receive communion. There's tables in each corner. So if you, when I release you, you'll go ahead and go to the table nearest you, grab the communion elements, little cup and the bread, and come back to your seat, okay? And then you can pray with one another and you can receive communion. Now, I would encourage you, if you're not a believer, if you don't believe that Jesus died for you, I would encourage you not to take communion today. Because when we take communion, we proclaim his coming. We proclaim his death, right? And if we proclaim that, if we proclaim that we need his salvation and that his blood covered our sins, then we need to submit our lives to him. Okay, but if you do believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you don't have to be a member of Hope Church today to take communion. You just have to be a member of the family of God, having received Christ into your heart, okay? If you need some help, slip up your hand and we'll get you some communion elements. But I want to remember this today in light of giving thanks. In light of giving thanks. Jesus gave thanks as he raised up the cup that he shared the night before he would go to the cross. And he gave thanks for what he was about to suffer. Because what he did for you and me was worth it in order that you and I could have a new outcome in our lives, that we would not be left in death and despair, but that we would raise with him, raised to life again. That is our outcome if we will receive him as our Savior, if we will learn to turn to his word, if we will devote ourselves to prayer and to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That can be your outcome because he loves you so much. Luke chapter 22 says this: after taking the cup, he gave thanks. He gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant. The new outcome for your life. If you would share in this. And it's his blood that was poured out for all of us. He has a great future for you. You can put your hope in him. Amen. Is there anything to be more thankful for today than that? A chance at a new outcome. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for all we've learned. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that it was preserved for us, that we could go there as a source of strength, that we can learn about what you've done for us, that we can grow more excellent, more extraordinary in our spirits to bring honor to you. Thank you. And I thank you not only for the prophecies and the heads up warnings that you gave us throughout the centuries, but that you did what you said you would do. I thank you for that. That we can trust you. And I thank you for your determination to come to this world and to go all the way to the cross. We thank you for that. And we thank you for your blood that covers our sin. Amen. Amen.